Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how are you seeing lately? What are you seeing? What are you imagining seeing? What does seeing do for you? We're going to understand a lot about that from a wonderful author of a wonderful book called Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. And we're speaking to our guest, the author, Dr. Jacob Israel Lieberman. Jacob, welcome to Energy Stew.
Peter, it's a pleasure to be with you here today.
You know, I love the fact that you come at life from your profession of seeing and how we see and what we see and why we see. And you've gone deep into the nature of it. It's not just our eyes, because our eyes are only really the window to the information of light. And that's why you wrote your book, Luminous Life. So where can we start looking at our seeing? What would you like to say?
The first thing I'd like to say is that we are actually not seeing. We are continually receiving glimpses through the eyes of God. Let me see if I can explain that. Ralph Waldo Emerson said something that might be one of my favorite quotes. He said, there's a principle underlying all things. He says, it's a simple, undescribed, undescribable presence residing silently within us. So what he's saying is, the source of all that exists is something that says nothing but sees everything somewhere within us. Now, what's profound about that is we've been conditioned to believe that you and I are actually different. And of course, I look at you, you look at me, we look a little different from each other. We might have different perspectives, different life experiences, but there's something within you that notices when physical sensations are occurring in your body, and that notices when activity is occurring in that thing that we've all been conditioned to believe is our mind. We're only aware of that activity because something is watching it, something is seeing it. And I don't know where this knowing is coming from, but the knowing is that that source of seeing within you and that source of seeing within me and that source of seeing within all that exists is the same source. That in that place, it is not the individual you or me that is seeing, but there's a seeing that's coming from a place of no point of view, just a place of observing. So for me, uncovering the source of our seeing, perhaps our godliness, if you will, is what allows us to recognize that everything here is the same, that we, in essence, are all the same, that we all have an appreciation for love, for caring, for all these things that are important. And then my sense is what comes from that is a life of contentment or greater contentment. Not a perfect life, that doesn't exist. A life that still might have illness and disappointment and resentment and worry and all these other things, and behind all of that is a sense of knowing that you and I are the same. And from that place, there's never a you versus me. All actions that arise out of that place are inclusive, never against anything. So that's for me what comes up in response to your question.
Okay, very good. And yet there's this great oneness, this higher knowing, this godly knowing that is within us, and yet we're each born to represent something of that, that's right. Different from each other.
Right, right. It's our reason for being. You know, the world or this experience would probably only grasp our attention for a short period if all flowers were red and smelled like roses. But because we have diversity in flowers and plants and animals and humans, something unique is continually catching our eye, drawing us towards something new so that we have a taste of this gorgeous smorgasbord. And after a while, we begin to experience a full spectrum life rather than just a small segment.
And so one of the things that you focus on, because you're an eye doctor.
I used to be, yes.
Well, you know the business.
I do.
Is that we all have a filter of cognition that works on both conscious and unconscious levels.
Right.
And your book talks a lot about how much importance to give to the conscious level versus the unconscious level, but we're still all using our eyes, perhaps our the eyes in our face, or could be the third eye that also receives light. So light is coming into us as information.
Right.
Because actually, all there is information.
Right.
And so the way that we receive information is through our own filter of both our conscious mind, our conditioning, our perhaps human design, and all of these different ways of filtering it. But also, there's a larger mind that holds it in a different way. And you talk a lot about that in your book, is what credence to give each.
You know, you're right about information. The conscious mind receives information. What comes through the infinite field of possibility, sometimes referred to as the unconscious, is information that is in formation, meaning that it is in a state of coherence and congruence with all that is. That type of information, in Yiddish, we call seichel. It means wisdom. It's not just information. It's not just what is true in this moment that may not be true in the next. It is truth. It is something that is unchanging and is against nothing. So yes, we are continually receiving information, which you could call guidance. And some of that information is exclusive, and the biggest part is inclusive. The difference is that we have been conditioned in such a way that we have come to believe that the smallest part is actually the biggest part, and we're not even aware of the biggest part other than in some theoretical, conceptual level.
Perhaps the biggest part is making the most sense in the larger picture of the information it receives, let's say through the eyes. The eyes are only receiving photons. So our eyes themselves can't make anything of it. Our conscious minds don't know how the mechanism, we don't effort using our eyes mechanically because we have no idea how they work. But our subconscious, our unconscious mind, our brains know exactly how our eyes mechanically work to receive information and then how to interpret it, so then our conscious mind knows what to make of it.
I'm going to flip that just a little bit.
Good. No, I see where this can be altered.
Yeah. This is a difficult thing to speak about. So I'm just waiting for the expression to come forth. Most of our seeing might actually occur without our eyes. Throughout the night, we are influenced by light, but yet there's no light outside our window. Sometimes we close our eyes in pitch darkness, but it feels like everything is incredibly bright until we start looking for it. And then it seems to diminish. So we are receiving guidance all of the time. You said it comes in through the eyes, and then so our unconscious can make sense of it. Consider the possibility that it might actually be the other way around. That what we are unconscious of, we are unconscious of it because it is the mystery, the great mystery. That it isn't something that we so much get to see, other than its miraculous nature. So well before the conscious mind is aware of anything that the eyes see,
right. The
unconscious, which is an infinite field of possibility, has actually guided that entire movement to bring us to a certain place. So it's almost like it takes us a while before we become aware of what is already in the works that is bringing us to a place to fulfill our reason for being.
Right. So there are all these patterns at play, including the patterns of information that come into us and the patterns, for instance, that we're born for our soul to develop in this life and work with. Yeah. And our conscious minds are just reacting in a way that even our subconscious, because our subconscious is reacting first before our conscious mind even hears it.
Right.
And so these patterns are always at work, which is, to me, all the more reason to surrender to them.
Right.
And allow this deeper mind to interpret and feed us the way it needs to for our conscious minds to react to, even though we don't even know where that begins or ends in terms
right.
of relationship to the subconscious.
Yeah, we're unaware of it. We're unaware of it, and yet you can see its workings all the time. You can look through very sophisticated technology, MRIs and so on, where you can see the brain beginning to move in a certain direction well before you're even aware that you say, oh, I'd like chocolate instead of vanilla. It's already moving in that direction. And I think the beauty of that is it demonstrates to us that there is an interweaving or an interconnectedness with everything that is, that everything is flowing in such a way so that everything can be at its maximum potential. To give you an idea, if you go into the forest during the summer and you find a deer, if you could measure the thickness of its skin, the length of its fur, you would see that it's very short because it's hot and it doesn't need much of that. And then as the days are shifting from summer to autumn and to winter, the days are getting shorter. The characteristics of the light are changing. And that is guiding every cell in the creature's body to begin to orchestrate its internal function and continually synchronize itself with Mother Nature, such that when that deer wakes up on the morning of the first snowfall, it doesn't say, oh my God, I forgot to get my overcoat at Costco. The reason is that every cell in its being is continually flowing in a very inseparable connectedness with Mother Nature. So you could say that light is continually upgrading the software of our humanity, bringing us into a state of oneness with life. The difference with a creature in the wild and these other creatures called humans that actually work exactly the same way, not only as animals, but as plants as well. The difference is that when the creature receives this guidance, it doesn't say, gee, I had my vacation planned today, or I'll prioritize it and do that a little bit later. Or I want to stay up until 3 a.m. looking at my iPhone. What I'm sharing is that a lot of our dis-ease and probably most of our disease is related to living a life according to our ideas about life versus this guidance that all living things are continually receiving to move them in a way that they fulfill their reason, whether it is to write a book, to interview an author, to make a painting, whatever it is. And I had the pleasure of working with thousands of children and infants when I first went into practice, and I learned something really profound. The artists, you'll see them very early. They're off, they're drawing, they're doing incredible things. The engineers look a little bit different. We come into this world not as an empty slate, but as a culmination of our lineage, if you will, and part of what we're supposed to bring forth. And then life facilitates that process. And even the fact that we become a doing culture, even though we spend most of our time doing, in spite of the fact that there is no part of our physiology that is designed to initiate action. It's always designed to respond to something. So even though we have been involved in this doing and have an idea of what success is and so on, even that becomes part of our journey to continually allow us to see more, to gain greater and greater and greater wisdom. I had the pleasure of having parents that lived into their 90s. And as they got older, I started interviewing them along with anyone I found that was beyond the age of 80 or 85. And I always asked them the same question. You've lived a long time. You've gained a lot of wisdom. Have you found that you could control anything? Every person I spoke to had the same response you did. They immediately laughed. Right. And then in their own words, they said, it's not in our hands. It's interesting that it takes us a lifetime to uncover that there's nothing we can do on a certain level, that there's, even though we are involved in many different things, at the end of the day, something is holding us. Something is moving us. And so for me, the book was about how do we get a sense of that which is holding and guiding us, and how does that dance with the part of us that gets excited about that and wants to bring something into the world.
And what you're helping us do is not have to wait till our 80s or 90s to surrender to what we can't do.
Yeah.
And then how to do in a way of being rather than doing.
Yeah.
And how to respond to life in, let's call it, innocence.
Yeah. Beautiful word.
Thank you. I've been accused of that too many times in my life.
Yeah.
And so we have to allow that in ourselves to be in our natural nature and respond to things from that natural nature of who we have to be in this life.
Yeah.
And allow that. That's why I love to teach people about their human designs, about their destiny cards, things that help them see the mechanics of how they're here to respond to life.
I think what's beautiful about what you just said is it helps us accept who we have always been.
Right.
You know, in a very easy way, which design does. So it's a lovely way of reflecting. This is who you are. And it's a gift, not a problem.
Right. And we have to learn about it. You know, that's why your book is important. It's very important to appreciate the whole mechanism of life, of our minds versus our higher minds, of our personalities versus our souls.
Yeah.
And then, you know, integrate them all.
Yeah.
In a way that learns how to respond to life much more innocently. And
yeah.
And then there's so much peace. You talk about Wu Wei in your book, and I've done some radio shows recently about Wu Wei. And it's really about effortless living,
right.
You know, just surrendering to the serendipity and synchronicity of life, and trust that our conscious minds really are very superficial and only just get a glimpse of the reality that we're here with.
You know, the surrendering also occurs as part of the Wu Wei Wu, of the effortlessness of it. It's like if somebody pushes your head underwater, I don't care what you want or you don't want. There's a part of you that will struggle. It will struggle to try to get its head above water.
Right.
And it will continue to struggle until it cannot struggle any longer.
Right.
You could say that there's a letting go at a certain point, but the letting go is not I let go. There's something that finally,
Well, what it is, I think, is that the Wu Wei is taking care of what's in front of your nose.
Yeah.
And not try to go beyond it. So if we're suffering in some way that needs to be taken care of, that's what's in front of our nose. And we just go about it and let serendipity and synchronicity help us go about it.
Right, right. Yeah. It occurs in a very beautiful way. I was led to believe that we use our eyes to look for things. It never dawned on me at that time that it's actually the other way around, that the light that illuminates our journey is actually looking for the eye, catches its attention way before there's anything that is recognizable. It moves the eye toward it, and then it reorients the body towards it. And then when the conscious mind finally becomes aware of what it is, something goes, and it gets inspired, and that right. inspiration moves us effortlessly. It right. moves us toward bringing something into this world. It's right. it's quite beautiful.
And that's the nature of serendipity and synchronicity. And we have to surrender to it working on us all the time.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
We're getting near the end of the show, by the way.
Okay. It's in many ways, there's like a master ventriloquist that is moving everything,
right?
But the strings are so thin that you don't see them. So you actually come to believe the puppet is moving, the puppet is speaking.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I'm fascinated by the fact that you and I, until 20 minutes ago, had never seen each other. And now we're in the midst of dealing with life's most important questions.
I love it.
How did we get here? Neither one of us has a PowerPoint presentation. We didn't give this a thought. It has a life of its own. I experience the same thing when I am asked to go out and share in front of a group. I literally come empty-handed.
Right.
I don't have the slightest
right.
idea.
The serendipity and synchronicity of the moment. But we really have to end the show. And
maybe
we can talk more another time, because there's also so much that you have in here about seeing and about appreciating how we are confused about our seeing.
Yeah.
And so we can talk about that perhaps another time. So, Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living, Jacob Israel Lieberman. Is there a website? Is there?
Yes, people could go to my website, which is jacoblieberman.org, O-R-G. Lieberman is spelled L-I-B as in boy, E-R-M-A-N. And the website is just a beautiful site to visit. It's not a marketing site. We're not interested in selling you anything. It's just a nice place to connect.
That's wonderful. Jacob, thanks so much for being a guest in Energy Stew. It's wonderful talking with you.
It's a pleasure. I hope we can do it again.
I hope so. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Thank you.